Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Passover begins today amid mounting tensions over the war between Israel and Hamas. Over 8 days, Jews around the world gathered to commemorate the biblical story of Jews who escaped slavery in Egypt. But more than 100 hostages taken by Hamas are still unaccounted for in Gaza. And the Jewish advocacy group, the Anti-Defamation League, reports that incidents of anti-Semitism are on the rise. So this year's celebrations may take on a more somber tone. For more, let's bring in Rabbi Michael Holtzman. He's the spiritual leader of the Northern Virginia Hebrew Congregation. Welcome, Rabbi.
Hi there.
So Passover is a celebration. It's a festival. How do you mark this holiday with the community?
Well, the holiday is at its core a gathering over dinner called a Seder, where we use a book called a Haggadah to tell the story and ask questions about it and really interrogate the larger meaning of the narrative.
And, it's generally a happy occasion, but I have to imagine this year feels different for a lot of people. Passover is a holiday that Jews mark as freedom from captivity. And yet, as I mentioned, more than 100 hostages taken by Hamas are still in captivity. I wonder how the conflict in Gaza might change the feeling of the holiday this year.
Well, for most American Jews, you're right. Passover is associated with festivity and joy. But there's a stretch of holidays from Hanukkah through Purim and into Passover where people say the Jewish holidays are all the same. They tried to kill us. We survived. Let's eat. And that old joke actually misunderstands that all three of those holidays avoid any kind of victory parade or any kind of celebration of killing or conquering the enemy. All three holidays have different ways of asking hard questions about the nature of power and evil and justice and how they appear in the world. So this year, given that you're absolutely right, people are not feeling as celebratory, especially people with a strong connection to Israel, which describes the majority of American Jews, we're probably going to see more families turning into the more thoughtful and reflective parts of the ritual and less emphasis on some of the raucousness or festive pieces of the ritual.
You mentioned hard questions. We're talking about Jewish tradition that embraces disagreement, embraces argument. And I wonder at this point when families might be gathering who strongly disagree on the issue of Palestine, how do you think this might play out?
Well, it could play out pretty poorly for some families if they're not careful. I think that families need to remind themselves that we're all gathering for an experience of learning, for an experience of conversation and reflection and personal growth. And the point of this is to be thinking about concepts, ideas, moral obligations. You know, our society needs to preserve places for those kinds of conversations outside of the policy arena. And I strongly encourage the families in my congregation to turn into those bigger, more universal questions and away from arguing over, you know, particulars like should there be a ceasefire now or, you know, or should we prioritize getting the hostages versus defeating Hamas? Like those kinds of arguments are going to be potentially really hazardous. I would say that the Jewish community in America really is facing three simultaneous problems. We're all concerned about the conflict in Israel and the survival of the Jewish people there. We're all concerned about the changing dynamics of Jewish belonging in America vis-a-vis non-Jews. And we're all concerned about the growing generational divide between older and younger Jews who have different perspectives on these things. And so that's a lot to pack into one family gathering over a meal.
It is a lot, as even in a tradition where you're kind of trained from a young age in how to disagree. But, you know, shortly after October 7th occurred, you wrote a letter to the Al Dulles Area Muslim Society and invited them to attend prayers at your synagogue. That's been a tradition for 15 years. In that letter, you wrote that you didn't want to give any weight to the idea that the conflict between Israel and Palestine is one that is between Muslim and Jewish people. And I wonder what the response was to that. Have people attended prayers as they have in the past?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our relationship with the Adams Center is quite strong, and it is built upon sharing a space and sharing a love of prayer and a recognition that prayer makes us better human beings. And so they shake our hand, they thank us profusely for hosting them, they treat our home as their home, and they know that we have Israeli flags in our building, and they have an ethic of being good guests in someone else's home and respecting that a homeowner, a host, will probably have different opinions than their guests, which is something we should all remember when we go to Seder, too, this is a universal part of being human. So our relationship with Adams is quite strong, and it gives all of us a great deal of hope.
Rabbi Michael Holtzman is spiritual leader of the Northern Virginia Hebrew Congregation. Chag Pesach Sameach. Thank you so much.
Chag Sameach. Thank you so much for this conversation.